Good morning, Keystone. It is always so good to be with you and worship with you. Love that new song that we're singing at Keystone. So welcome to this place. Here's where I want to start off this morning. We're almost done with the Sermon on the Mount, but we got three more sermons, and I'm excited for today. And I want to start this morning by saying this. Most of us have a complicated relationship with prayer. Like, if you looked at our prayer status, it's like, it's complicated. And I think it's kind of complicated for a number of reasons. We know we should pray, right? If you walk this morning into Miss Aaron Land, which is Keystone Kids over there, if you know, she does an incredible job over there, and you said, hey, kids, if we want to know and follow Jesus, what's two important things that we should do? And I almost guarantee you from three up, they would say, read your Bible and pray. We know, like, from a very young age, we should pray. A few weeks ago, we did the Sermon on the Mount, and the scripture said, when you pray, and he gave us the Lord's Prayer. Like, we know we should pray. This is why we do prepare as a church. We're kind of, that's not that far in the rear view for us, when we gather and pray and fast as a church together, and we write down our prayers, all because we know we should pray. These are things that most of us know. Other side of that is, we also have real needs in our life. Like, there are areas in our life, it's not just like, you know, hopeful prayers, God, let me win a lot of money. Like, those kind of prayers go up, especially in your, like, teenage years, sometimes in your 40s years, somebody say amen. But, like, there's, like, things that we wish would happen, but then there's some real issues in our life. Like, some of you have been praying for a relationship, for a person, for an illness, for a dissatisfaction in your life, whether it's in your job or it's in relation. There's so many, like, these are needs that burden the soul. We know we should pray, and we have real needs and desires. And that real needs and desires is why, do you remember Prepare Ikki Soma's sermon, Out of Your Mind Prayers? Do you guys remember that sermon? If you didn't listen to that sermon, you should go online and listen to it. And here's why it was powerful, because there's some things in our life that, God, we really can't even imagine that you would answer, but we're asking you to. And in between those two realities, we know we should pray, and we have real needs in our life. Often, we don't pray as we should. Like, just the real data of our lives is that we don't pray as we should. And often we have deep questions about prayer. Does prayer work? You've asked that in your soul, even if you haven't verbalized it with your mouth. Does prayer actually work? Does God really even listen to me? In the dark nights of the soul, we ask these questions. And honestly, they're honest questions, because there's some of you who have been praying out of your mind prayers and God hasn't answered. It feels like God has been silent. So how is your relationship with prayer? Is it complicated? You know you should, you have real needs, but you kind of get stuck sometimes. Well, here's what we're here to tell you this morning. The scripture is really clear on what we should do when it comes to prayer. It's really clear. But also Jesus, all throughout the Sermon on the Mount, especially this morning, he not only tells us what we should do, which is prayer, but he also tells us why we should do it. And this is gonna be one of the largest points across all morning this morning is this. Be persistent in prayer because God is generous. If you're a note taker, you're gonna wanna write that down. Be persistent in prayer because God is generous. Now, before we jump into today's text, I wanna give you kind of a cheat sheet on how to read the Bible. So this is when you're on your own time in the morning or whether you're listening to a sermon, there's always two really good questions when you look at the scriptures. Number one is, what should I do? Because what the Bible says, what should I do? It's one really good question. Another really great question is, what should I believe? What should I believe? Now, here's what I'm trying to tell you this morning. Often, that is a Christian life hack to ask the question, what should I believe? Because you need to know this. Your behavior follows your belief. It just does. Like, whatever you believe is what how you behave. And so this morning, today's passage, what we're gonna focus on, because I know you should pray, we're gonna start with why you should pray, because Jesus puts it in his passage today. So we're gonna be persistent in prayer because God is generous. This is Matthew chapter 7. If you're with us, we're gonna begin in verse 7. in verse 7. I hope you have your Bibles. If not, it's on the screens. Let's read God's word together. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks on the door, it will be open. Who among you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Therefore, whatever you want others to do for you, do also the same for them. For this is the law and the prophets. This is probably a very familiar verse to you. Ask, seek, knock. These are words that we think a lot about. But what we're going to do this morning is I'm going to not start with the top of the passage, which is what we're supposed to do. And I want to start with the second of what we are to believe. So I want you to pick it up in verse 9 with me, because we're going to start in what do I need to believe. Verse 9 says this: who among you, if a son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts, good things to those who ask him? Therefore, whatever you want others to do, do also the same for them. For this is the law and the prophet. Jesus, after he tells us how to pray, after he tells us what to do, he fills in the what. And what he does is, in a beautiful way that Jesus can only do because he is human among us, he gives a real life example that we will absolutely understand from the get-go. The idea is, if a son comes to a father and says, hey, dad, I need some bread. He's like, there's no way that dad is gonna give him a stone and say, here you go, good luck. We're talking about nourishment. We're talking about like the basic needs of life. A father would never do that. And in the same way, he's not, if he asks for a fish, which is again nourishment, will give him something that is dangerous, like a snake, right? Most of us hate snakes, but the reality in that culture is the vipers, is that snakes are dangerous. He's like, there's no way when a son asks for something good, the father is gonna give him something dangerous. And the argument here is, you would never do that. Everyone, you don't have to be a Christian to believe that this is right. Like, this is just clear. Everyone should do this. And then he says, yet you're evil. And what he's saying there is, we all are fallen nature, is what we would say in a theological sense. We've all sinned. We all make serious mistakes. And if we would never do that, how much more would your Father never do that for you? And this is exactly what Matt talked about last week, the a fortiori argument, which is the greater argument. He's like, let me talk about the greater argument, which is this, verse 11. How much more? How much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask him? The point here is, your Father is generous. Your God who has saved you is generous to you. In fact, when I was reading this, it reminded me of the James passage. In James 1, it says this: don't be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift is from above. Every good and perfect gift, it's from God. He's generous, coming down from the Father of lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. Everything that God gives us, he's the Father of light. Every good thing in our life, it all comes from him. God is generous. Now, most of you, if I said, is God greedy and mean or generous? Most of you would be able to answer, God is generous. Again, these are things that we can answer and say in our brains. But often, if you look deep down into the practices of our life, we might not believe it, because we carry stereotypes of who God is. Think of a few stereotypes that maybe I have seen or seen in others, is the genie in the sky. You're a genie in the sky, and if I just happen to be in luck with you, I might get 3 wishes and you might answer 3 prayers in my life. Maybe that would happen. Some of us have a stereotype of like God is the angry God. He's like the get off my lawn God. And he's just waiting for you to cross the line so he can scream and smite you and come down on you in full wrath. And the wrath of God is real, but praise God, it was taken by Christ Jesus, amen? We don't have to live in fear of God, but we should honor him. But God's not angry at you, so you don't have to be scared to come to him. We also have, some of us have this distant deity. And God's not really mad, but he is so distant and disconnected from my life, he really doesn't even know about it. He's not mad at me, but he doesn't know me. And others think he's like in that distant deity. He's so holy that he would never care about me. And the scriptures is so clear from Genesis when he created us to Revelation when he takes us home. God is generous. We have all those stereotypes because of our life experience and often because the fathers that many of us had. But the scripture is crystal clear of who God is, that he is generous. Let's just talk about his generosity to us outside of the things we ask for. You and I were separated from God because of evil, and we had made that mistake. He didn't make that mistake. Still yet, in his generosity, he sent his son to earth to take on all the payment of our sin, and so the Christ was crucified. And all that was so that we could have relationship, and oftentimes we preach that, and it is eternal life. Yes and amen, eternity really matters, but the reality is that it's relationship both now and through all eternity. And in his generosity, God, who could have been angry, he could have come down. In his character, he's generous and gives us grace in the gospel. God is a generous and perfect father. Listen, your father in heaven, how much more will your father in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Do you really believe that God is generous? I was reading a theologian this week, and he said one of the overarching things of the Sermon on the Mount is the assurance that those who follow Jesus can come to God with all their needs, and we can be assured that he hears us. We can rest assured because of his generosity. So what do you need to believe? You need to believe this morning, God is generous. He is your father. Earlier in the Sermon on the Mount, he knows your needs before you even ask him, and your father will give you good things if you ask. Which leads to the next question, what do I need to do? What do I need to do? Look at verse 7. This is where it's really practical. Really practical. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be open. Ask, seek, knock. Some theologians see a repetition, like it just gets more and more urgency. Ask, and then you seek it, and then you're knocking on the door. They see an intensity across it. Other theologians don't see that intensity, but they're like, but it's three things saying at the exact same times. And then, by the way, in verse 7, he says it, and then in verse 8, he says it. So it's three things doubly said. It's important. It's also in the command form. He's trying to give us the practice of what we should do. Let's talk about them each. Ask. Ask, which in my mind is voice your request. Voice your request to God. It's really simple. Ask and it will be given to you. Here's the question that comes to my mind. How many needs in our life have been forfeited because we didn't ask? As I was writing this sermon, I grew up in a world where you had a hymnal and you did like this on Sunday morning and we sang hymns. Kiddos, that used to be the way we worship God. And there's a hymn that some of you know. What a friend we have in Jesus. It goes like this. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. Sing it with me. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Listen, that's what Jesus is talking about. There are burdens in your soul. There are issues that you are striving with. Remember a few weeks ago? All because we did not go to God and ask. James says it this way, you do not have because you do not ask. James 4:2. Like, there are things that God would love to give us, but we simply do not ask. And there's this promise of asking. ask and you will receive. It's not complicated, brothers and sisters. And what Jesus is trying to stir in our hearts, are there things that your generous Father would love to give you, but you've never even asked for them? Ask, voice your request. Then he moves to seek. I'm gonna call seek, which is eager pursuit of God's way. Ask is maybe putting your voice. Seek is putting your action to the reality. You're seeking, your eager pursuit of God's way. In prayer, we seek. And we're seeking answers to questions we have. We're seeking discernment of where we're to move in our life. We're seeking wisdom in often moments where we're seeking, God, I just want to know your way. Like in the scripture actually tells us, Matthew 6:33. We just read it a few weeks ago. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. It should be the priority of us. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Do you see this reality? It's all throughout scripture. When we seek, God answers us. He answers us. And again, I know a lot of you have questions. Does God really? And what I'm trying to give you is a good belief this morning. God is generous. His word says that if we'll seek him, he will be found. If we ask, he will give an answer. And the promise of seeking is this: you will find. And I know many of you in this room is like, Brent, I've been seeking for a week, for a month, some of you for a year. There's prayers in Carrie and I's life that's taken years for fruition. God, we're seeking your will in this. We're confused. He doesn't talk about timetables in this text, but he does talk about promises that you will find. There's a problem of seeking. We have a hard time asking for directions, don't we? When I grew up, before the old smartphone, there was a common stereotype in culture that men would never stop and ask for directions. Like, that stereotype is gone because everybody has a map on their phone and we all know we're lost, and so we just turn it on really quick, right? But there was a stereotype that men would never ask for questions. Now, there is a great disagreement in our marriage because we disagree on which map app is best. So we're just gonna do a survey here so I can prove my wife wrong really quickly. This is dangerous preaching, by the way. But if you are Team Apple Map, raise your hands. Notice the jeers. Now, if you are Team Google Map, raise your hands. Glory to God. Babe, I love you. The congregation has spoken. We will use Google Maps for the rest of our lives. Now, listen, that's kind of silly, but we do have a map that we go to, right? Like, when you're going, you know which one you're gonna go to and ask Siri. But listen, you ain't gotta ask a robot the serious questions of life. Do you understand that God in his generosity has given you a promise that if you will go to him and ask, and you will go to him and seek, he will be found. He will answer you. And so for many of us, we don't like to ask directions in our lives, the same many of us don't like to ask directions when we're driving. But God says, listen, ask me. Seek my way. Seek the way you should go from my word. And listen, it's not as simple as just writing an address. Sometimes you have to dive into God's word, which is why you should read the Bible and pray, by the way. Ask, seek, and then knock. Ask with boldness. Knock is ask with boldness. Again, such a simple text, knock, and the door will be open to you. Here's the thing about knocking on doors. It takes courage. It takes courage. If I told you this morning when you walked in, hey guys, we're gonna suspend service this morning, what we're gonna do is I'm gonna give you a bunch of flyers. You guys are gonna knock on the neighborhoods in Ankeny and you're gonna invite them to Easter service. Some of you would have a low-key panic attack, right? Because you know what it's like. I don't know why this is true of our culture, but it's true of our culture. If someone knocks on your door, you're like, how dare you? Somebody check the camera and see who it is, because I don't trust nobody. Knocking takes courage. I remember the first time I had to sell candy bars for band. And I went and knocked on doors and said, would you like a candy bar? And I was scared out of my mind. Knocking takes courage. And the idea here was with knocking is come with consistent boldness. Knock and the door will be open. Courageous boldness. You have assurance that God wants you to ask. Keep asking. We'll talk more about that in just a little bit. But the promise of knocking is this. The door will be open. And there's some of you that you've been wondering, will that door ever open for me? And I can't decide which doors God's going to open. But what I'm telling you is God answers and he will open doors for you. It might not be the one that you wanted, but he will open doors for you. Here's the reality behind all of these prayers. Vance Pittman said this early on in January when he preached here. And one of the biggest questions that a lot of people ask is prayer necessary? Why, if God knows all these things about me, remember it said that in the Sermon on the Mount, that God knows everything we need before we need it, why is it even necessary for us to pray? Some of you are like, I trust God. I'm not gonna waste my time praying because he knows better than I do, and that's your relationship. Listen, that's not relationship. Here, the scripture wants us to be father, son, father, and daughter. But this is prayer necessary? This is what Vance Pittman said. I wrote it down when he preached it because I was like, that's good, here it is. God in his sovereignty chose to limit his activity to the prayers of his people. God in his sovereignty chose to limit his activity to the prayers of his people. There are questions you are asking and there's things you want and God hasn't answered because you've never asked. There's wisdom and discernment. There's direction in your life that you don't have because you never sought after him. There's doors that you want open in your life, doors we want open as ministry at our as a church that haven't opened because we've never even asked God for them. We've never come with boldness. And just so we know that these points are good, he restates it, for everyone who asks receives and the one who seeks finds, the one who knocks, the door will be open. It's interesting as he switches the pronouns here. He's saying, you should ask, you should seek, you should knock, and then he says, everyone. The pronoun switches. And I just want to say this. It says, for everyone who asks, receives. And the question is, does this mean everyone has this kind of access to God? And here's what I would tell you. No. I know it says everyone, but here Jesus speaking to us, like, through the sermon has gotten closer and closer, speaking to his followers. And so those of us who know God as Father, yes, we can come and we can ask and seek and knock, but this isn't a promise for everyone. There are people who need to first have a relationship with the Father God. Be persistent in prayer, which is ask, seek, and knock. And when Jesus teaches this, when Jesus teaches all of this in Luke, Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke have a lot of the same stories. And Luke, when he is teaching this, he couples this very, very powerful parable with this teaching. I'm going to read the story. A friend comes at midnight to his friend's tent or house or dwelling or whatever it is, and he's asked for 3 loaves of bread because he has a guest coming and he doesn't have anything to offer him. And in other cultures, that is extremely offensive. Ebenezer, I've been in homes in India with you, and it doesn't matter. You give somebody some food, isn't that right? And in that culture, you would never be found without a gift for your guest. And so he goes to his friend's tent, and in the middle of the night starts beating down the door. He's knocking. The person inside says, go away, you crazy person. It's midnight. The door's locked. He actually says, my kids are in bed, and you young parents can understand this. Someone wakes up your kids in the middle of the night, you're ready to fight, right? He's like, don't mess with me, go away. But then listen to verse 8, Luke 11:8. This is what it says. I tell you, even though he won't get up and give him anything because he is a friend, because of his friends, friendship ain't working here. Look what it says, yet because of his friend's shameless boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. That word shameless boldness is a great word. In a different translation, it says impudence. I was like, I have no clue what that means, so I had to look it up. So I've kind of been fascinated with this word for a very long time. This word is a compound word in Greek, anadia, It's made up of two words, idos, which means modest, and ana, which means not. And because his friend was not modest, he came with boldness. He was shameless. He came beating down the door in the middle of the night. I don't care if I'm waking up your kids. I need bread. The friend got up and he answered him. And then he tells that same, then he says, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask? Be persistent in prayer because God is generous. What do you need to do, Keystone? You need to be persistent in prayer. But I'm pretty sure you could have told me that before you walked in this room this morning. What I'm trying to tell you this morning is I've been praying for you all week that you would truly believe that God is generous and that he wants to answer your prayers and he wants you there. Now, I could tell more stories than I could preach, but I have a guest this morning.